Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, family, friends, and foes, and even foes in the family, and to the worldwide standing between the living and the dead memorial. And devotional service family. This is Daniel White III, President of Gospel Light Society International, with the White House daily reading of the Chronological Bible, episode number 169. Where I simply read the Holy Bible in the King James Version each day in chronological order with my family in tow, as we have done for over 33 years by the grace of God, in which I have done personally for over 41 years. So this is not our first rodeo, so to speak. We're not doing this to be seen. We did it behind the scenes for many years. I'm only doing this with you because God told me to inspire others and to encourage others to get back to old-fashioned family and personal devotions. And when I say personal, I'm talking to all of our single brothers and sisters in Christ. Whether you're married or single, you're not going to make it in this world as a Christian successfully without morning devotions. And that is a fact. My beloved, this unique viewpoint, this unique arrangement in our Holy Bible allows us to read the whole Bible as a single story and to see the unfolding of God's plan in history. Today we are reading Numbers chapter 4. Let's pray. Holy Father God in heaven, I pray, hopefully we all pray, Lord, and we thank you for your holy word, and we pray that your Holy Spirit would teach us your holy word, help us to remember it, help us to grasp it as we read it, have it to speak to our hearts in only the way your Holy Word does and your Holy Spirit does. I cannot explain it, but I thank you for it. And I do pray that you will help us to respect your Holy Word as you want us to and as you do. And help us to apply it to our lives. Help us to teach it to others in a loving discipleship way, and help us to preach your holy gospel from it, for your glory, praise, and honor, and for the salvation of the lost. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for his sake. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, I have the high honor, the distinct privilege, and the great pleasure to read in your hearing, Thus saith the Lord, the Word of God, the Holy Bible, and Numbers chapter 4. And the Lord spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying, Take the sum of the sons of Kohath from among the sons of Levi, after their families by the house of their fathers. From 30 years old and upward, even until 50 years old, all that enter into the host to do the work in the tabernacle of the congregation. This shall be the service of the sons of Kohath in the tabernacle of the congregation about the most holy things. And when the camp setteth forward, Aaron shall come and his sons, and they shall take down the covering veil and cover the ark of the testimony with it, and shall put thereon the covering of badgers' skins, and shall spread over it a cloth wholly of blue, and shall put in the staves thereof. And upon the table of showbread they shall spread a cloth of blue, and put thereon the dishes, and the spoons, and the bowls, and covers to cover withal, and the continual bread shall be thereon. Pardon me. And they shall spread upon them a cloth of scarlet, and cover the same with a covering of badgers' skins, and shall put in the staves thereof. And they shall take a cloth of blue, and cover the candlestick of the light, and his lamps, and his tongs, and his snuff dishes, and all the oil vessels thereof wherewith they minister unto it. And they shall put it, and all the vessels thereof, within a covering of badger skins, and shall put it upon a bar. And upon the golden altar they shall spread a cloth of blue, and cover it with a covering of badger's skins, and shall put to the staves thereof. And they shall take all of the instruments of ministry wherewith they minister in the sanctuary, and put them in a cloth of blue, and cover them with a covering of badgers' skins, and shall put them on a bar. And they shall take away the ashes from the altar, and spread a purple cloth thereon. And they shall put upon it all the vessels thereof, wherewith they minister about it, even the censers, the flesh hooks, and the shovels, and the basins, all the vessels of the altar, and they shall spread upon it a covering of badger skins, and put to the staves of it. And when Aaron and his sons have made an end of covering the sanctuary, and all of the vessels of the sanctuary, as the camp is to set forward, after that the sons of Kohath shall come to bear it, but they shall not touch any holy thing, lest they die. These things are the burden of the sons of Kohath in the tabernacle of the congregation. And to the office of Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the priest pertaineth the oil for the light, and the sweet incense, and the daily meat offering, and the anointing oil, and the oversight of all the tabernacle, and of all that therein is, in the sanctuary, and in the vessels thereof. And the Lord spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying, Cut ye not off the tribe of the families of the Kohathites from among the Levites, but thus do unto them that they may live and not die when they approach unto the most holy things. Aaron and his sons shall go in and appoint them, every one to his service and to his burden. But they shall not go in to see when the holy things are covered, lest they die. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Take also the sum of the sons of Gershon throughout the houses of their fathers by their families. From 30 years old and upward until 50 years old shalt thou number them, all that enter in to perform the service, to do the work in the tabernacle of the congregation. This is the service of the families of the Gershonites, to serve and for burdens. And they shall bear the curtains of the tabernacle and the tabernacle of the congregation, his covering and the covering of the badger's skins that is above upon it, and the hanging for the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And the hangings of the court, and the hanging for the door of the gate of the court, which is by the tabernacle and by the altar round about, and their cords, and all the instruments of their service, and all that is made for them, so shall they serve. At the appointment of Aaron and his sons shall be all the service of the sons of the Gershonites in all of their burdens and in all of their service, and ye shall appoint unto them in charge all their burdens. This is the service of the families of the sons of Gershon in the tabernacle of the congregation, and their charge shall be under the hand of Ithamar, the son of Aaron the priest. As for the sons of Merari, thou shalt number them after their families by the house of their fathers, from 30 years old and upward, even unto 50 years old shalt thou number them, every one that entereth into the service to do the work of the tabernacle of the congregation. And this is the charge of their burden, according to all their service in the tabernacle of the congregation, the boards of the tabernacle, and the bars thereof, and the pillars thereof, and sockets thereof. And the pillars of the court round about, and their sockets, and their pins, and their cords, with all their instruments and with all their service. And by name ye shall reckon the instruments of the charge of their burden. This is the service of the families of the sons of Merari, according to all their service in the tabernacle of the congregation, under the hand of Ithamar, the son of Aaron, the priest. And Moses and Aaron and the chief of the congregation numbered the sons of the Kohathites after their families and after the house of their fathers, from 30 years old and upward, even unto 50 years old, everyone that entereth into the service for the work in the tabernacle of the congregation. And those that were numbered of them by their families were 2,750. These were they that were numbered of the families of the Kohathites, all that might do service in the tabernacle of the congregation, which Moses and Aaron did number according to the commandment of the Lord by the hand of Moses. And those that were numbered of the sons of Gershon throughout their families and by the house of their fathers, from 30 years old and upward, even unto 50 years old, everyone that entereth into the service for the work in the tabernacle of the congregation, even those that were numbered of them throughout their families by the house of their fathers, were 2,630. These are they that were numbered of the families of the sons of Gershon, of all that might do service in the tabernacle of the congregation, whom Moses and Aaron did number according to the commandment of the Lord. And those that were numbered of the families of the sons of Merari throughout their families by the house of their fathers, from 30 years old and upward, even unto 50 years old, everyone that entereth into the service for the work in the tabernacle of the congregation, even those that were numbered of them after their families, were 3,200. These be those that were numbered of the families of the sons of Merari, whom Moses and Aaron numbered according to the word of the Lord by the hand of Moses. All those that were numbered of the Levites, whom Moses and Aaron and the chief of Israel numbered after their families and after the house of their fathers, from 30 years old and upward, even unto 50 years old, everyone that came to do the service of the ministry and the service of the burden in the tabernacle of the congregation, even those that were numbered of them were 8,005. Pardon me. Even those that were numbered of them were 8,504. According to the commandment of the Lord, they were numbered by the hand of Moses, everyone according to his service and according to his burden. Thus were they numbered of him as the Lord commanded Moses. Shall we pray? Holy Father God in heaven, Lord, I praise you and I thank you for your holy word. Help us to remember it. Help us to hide it in our hearts. Help us to understand it. Help us to apply it to our lives and to teach it to others and to preach your holy gospel from it. In Jesus Christ's name I do pray and forsake. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, family, friends, and foes, and to the standing between the living and the dead, memorial and devotional service family. This is Daniel White III, President of Gospel Light Society International, with the White House Family Devotional Reading of Charles Haddon Spurgeon's Treasury of David. This is episode number 18. Holy Father God, we praise you and we thank you for the privilege to pray together and to read your holy word together and to hear from one of your choice servants regarding your holy word. He being dead yet speaketh, and we give you all of the glory, the praise, and the honor. Have your Holy Ghost to speak to our hearts from your holy word. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for his sake. Amen. Dr. Spurgeon chose for our hearing today Psalm 3:8. Salvation belongeth unto the Lord, thy blessing is upon thy people, Selah. This verse contains the sum and substance of Calvinistic doctrine, Spurgeon says. Search Scripture through, and you must, if you read it with a candid mind. Be persuaded that the doctrine of salvation by grace alone is the great doctrine of the Word of God. Salvation belongeth unto the Lord. This is a point concerning which we are daily fighting. Our opponents say salvation belongeth to the free will of man. If not to man's merit, yet at least to man's will, but we hold and teach that salvation from first to last, in every iota of it, belongs to the Most High God. By the way, even though we have great respect for the Prince of Preachers, we disagree with some of his Calvinistic teaching. And we believe that salvation is all of grace and with the help of God, man can choose to believe in Christ or not to believe in Christ. We don't believe in what some call irresistible grace. We believe that man can reject God's grace and has done so. And we believe also that God's grace is so powerful that people who have good sense will go ahead and yield to it. But be that as it may, we will not separate from our dear brother who is 99% correct. And we still love Spurgeon, even though we disagree with him on that point. And he, I believe, would lean more to what I'm saying to you. I believe that he was a man who preached the gospel believing that anybody could get saved from the preaching of the gospel. I truly believe that, based upon all of the other great work he has done. So be that as it may. It is God that chooses his people. He calls them by his grace. He quickens them by his spirit and keeps them by his power. And all of that is true. It is not of man, neither by man, not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy, and all of that is true. But I do hope you understand what I'm saying. When Spurgeon says it is all of grace, I agree with that. Because I am a born-again one, and I know for a fact that God led me to himself. May we all learn this truth experimentally, or experientially, for our proud flesh and blood will never permit us to learn it in any other way. Pardon me. In the last sentence, the peculiarity and specialty of salvation are plainly stated. Thy blessing is upon thy people, neither upon Egypt, nor upon Tyre, nor upon Nineveh. Thy blessing is upon thy chosen, thy blood-bought, thine everlastingly beloved people. Selah. Lift up your hearts and pause and meditate upon this doctrine. Thy blessing is upon thy people. Thy blessing is upon thy people, divine, discriminating, distinguishing, eternal, infinite, immutable love is a subject for constant adoration. He says, pause, my soul, at this Selah, and consider thine own interest in the salvation of God. And if by humble faith thou art enabled to see Jesus as thine by his own free gift of himself to thee. If this greatest of all blessings be upon thee, rise up and sing. Rise, my soul, adore and wonder. Ask, oh, why such love to me? Grace hath put me in the number of the Savior's family. Hallelujah. Thanks. Eternal thanks to thee. Glory be to God. Let's pray. Holy Father God, we pray in the holy name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We praise you and we thank you for your holy word. We thank you for your servant, who we disagree on some of what he has stated. But we thank you for the 99% that we do agree on. And we give you the glory, the praise, and the honor, for all of it is due your name. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and forsake. Amen. In the spirit of the standing between the living and the dead memorial and devotional service, we continue to read the family verses. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. I believe one of the reasons why God told fathers that, primarily, it goes for the help meet as well, because sad to say, in our day and time, I would venture to say more mothers provoke their children to wrath than fathers. And it's sad to say, because of how society has gone, has been going on now for so many years, many mothers do not have the natural affection that the older mothers used to have for their children. And I hear more and more now of children being bitter towards their mother more than the father. And these things, my brethren and sistren, ought not so to be. But what God is saying, I believe, to both parents, and especially to the father who does not have the nurturing gene, if you will. This is a stark warning to fathers not to provoke your children to wrath and to anger by picking on them, by playing favorites, by all of the host of things I've taught you about and told you about in the past, and so forth. Most men do not have that nurturing thing going on naturally, as all women should have. I believe God wired mothers to do that nurturing thing. And one of the tragedies of life, because I do believe God is speaking to both parents, the father and the mother, but mostly to the father, because the mother is supposed to be a helpmeet and is supposed to carry out the orders of the father when he delegates things to her. One of the tragedies of life, my dear friends, is, first of all, let me say, children deserve, God wants children to have a father and a mother. Now, that's a fact. There's a reason for that. Because the father normally does not have that nurturing thing going on, he's more given to discipline and order, as he should be. The mother needs to back that up with nurturing and love. And when the mother does not do that, children will grow up out of whack, not feeling the natural love of a mother. Now, the healthiest children grow up with a loving mother and a father who is about discipline. You got to have both of those things for children. And the father can try, as I have, to be the father and the mother. Not only did I discipline my children, which I think is very important and which breeds success in life, all of my children have been successful so far in real life. And none of my children have bothered me with anything once they have left home. And that's because, by the grace of God, I raised them well. But however, they were not loved by their mother, by her own admission, as they should have been. And they are bitter towards her because of that, and really don't have a relationship to speak of with them, with her. And so, pardon me. And so, even though it's not, even though I don't have a feminine bone in my body, I do have the kind of love my dad had for us, for my siblings and me. And I do love my children. Sometimes they may not think so because I won't let them have their way. And that's love too. Now that my dad did not have. He did not understand that love is, yes, buying Lonely Dawn cookies and buying chips on the way home and bringing some Hardee's or some McDonald's and you know, taking us out on a ride on Sunday. That's love too. I love it. I love that part. But love is also whipping the child's behind. And the Bible is talking about that right here when the Bible says, but bring them up in the nurture, if you will, the love and caring and admonition of the Lord. As you've heard me say in the back, when they do good, you pat them on the back. When they do evil, you pat them on the butt. I mean, you whip them on the butt. Yes, sir. I'm a firm believer in chastisement because the greatest thing that God did for me after I got saved was chastise me, which I never thought he would do. Why? Because I thought, like you, God is so loving and so wonderful and so merciful and so gracious. He would never chastise us like our mean old fathers. Oh, but he will. my dear friend. God will take you to the woodshed, and I assure you, all of the whippings of your parents combined will not touch the whippings of God. I assure you that. Because God is in it to fix the problem permanently. Oh yes, you will come out of it if you are a child of God, my beloved. You will come out of the woodshed a different person. Here's a few things you will have going on once God gets through with you. Number one, you will reverence God and fear God and respect God like and Jesus like never before. You will love God more. And thirdly, I bet you won't do that again. Whatever he whipped you for, you won't be doing that again. I assure you. You won't be doing that again. You might be tempted, but the fear of God in you, because God can put the fear of God in you. After he gets through with you, you may be tempted, but you're going to say with Dr. T.D. Jakes, I bet you I won't do that again. Mm-mm. See, smart children, they don't do that again, man. No. You must be lost and on your way to hell. You're going to keep on defying God because he's going to deal with you. And see, you must understand, as I have said before many times, my beloved, your father's whipping may take 10 minutes, 20 minutes. I mean, 10 minutes, 15 minutes. I don't know. But see, God's chastisement is going to be a while. It could take months. It can take years. It will seem like it will never end. You don't want to get God started on you, my beloved. So take it as a word from the wise. You know why? I'm still married to my wife, who is not a good wife or a good mother, for 33 years. One reason, I fear God. You say, well, preacher, isn't it a matter of romance and Romeo and Juliet? No, sir, no, ma'am. I fear God. And I do love God. But as I've said before, and I don't think God is mad at me, I think I fear him more than I love him. But see, God takes the fear of him and the reverence of him. Bless your little heart. As love, he translates that into love. Oh yes. The reason why I don't have a girlfriend on the side is because I fear God, not because I love my wife so much. I know some of y'all don't like that, but it's true. I fear God. And see, I fear God because I thank God for the blessings and the liberties and the favor he shows me when I'm obedient to him. And I don't want to lose that. For example, the privilege to serve him. The ideas that he gives me that he does not give others. Favor, grace, mercy, liberty, freedom in him. See, we don't think there's freedom inside of boundaries. But the greatest freedom you'll ever have is inside of the boundaries of the scriptures of the Word of God. Oh, I can go on and on, but let me wrap it up. Ephesians 6:4, and ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. You don't need to do that. Just because you don't have the nurturing gene. In fact, by the grace of God, even though I don't have that gene, so to speak, I'm the one, from the time my children were born until now, I'm the one that says to my children, I love you. Even the ones who are grown, it doesn't matter how old they get or how big they get, I'm going to be the one to say, I love you. We say, I love you, and have been doing so for the beginning of this family. Before we go to bed at night, and when we get up in the morning, and when we leave, depart from one another, we say, I love you. I don't care how mad they might be or how mad I might be. I still say I love you. My wife does not do that, has never done that on her own. I have made her do it for her children's sake. But that's something, it doesn't matter how you feel or what you think. As fathers and mothers, you ought to do that. Because one day, you may be crying over their grave saying, I love you, but it's too late. They can't hear you. Do you hear me? So, some of the most powerful words in the world, I love you. And so, parents, you do that. Whether they call you or write you or not, you write them and you call them. And you tell them at the end of the phone call, after you pray with them, I love you. Okay? So bring them up in the nurture, love and care, if you will, and the admonition, the rebuke and chastisement of the Lord. Glory be to God. Let's pray. Holy Father God, we praise you and we thank you so much for your holy word, your Holy Spirit, your Holy Son, most of all, the Lord Jesus Christ, who's made all of this possible through his death, his burial, and his resurrection. He is the Lamb of God who has taken away the sin of the world. Now, Lord, we pray for some prayer requests that have come in. We pray for Naeem. Please bless him with 52 sponsors who will help him feed people each week this year. We pray for Pakika. Please bless his ministry to the orphans, elderly gospel crusades, church planting, and support for pastors. We pray for Ravi. Please heal David from health problems. Give him good health and provide him with proper treatment. Provide Ravi with sufficient food, education, medical assistance, and shelter for orphan children and the elderly. Now, Holy Father God, we pray for the people who have believed in the Lord Jesus Christ through the preaching of your holy gospel from this pulpit. We pray, Lord, that you would help them to grow in the faith and to stand strong in the faith. We pray for Celia, Maria, Melda, Tiny, and Yesarin. And now we pray for the people who have recommitted their lives to Christ. We pray, Lord, for Mubaita. Help them to stand rather strong in the faith and never quit and never get into a backslidden situation. We pray for Moses. We pray for Florentina. We pray for Rose. And now, Holy Father God, we pray for all people who claim to be Christians, who name the name of Christ around the globe. Help us all to humble ourselves. Help us to pray. Help us to seek your face. Help us to turn from our wicked ways and help us to repent and get back to you, our first love. We pray, Lord, for the President of the United States and all people who are in the ministry of government, including police officers and sheriffs and deputy sheriffs, governors and mayors, and all senators and representatives statewide and nationwide. We pray for all leaders of all countries around the globe. We pray for the peace of Jerusalem. And we pray, Lord, for the salvation of the lost, for the revival of the saved, for the healing of the sick, and for the comfort of the grieving. As we pray for some by name, we pray for the family and friends of Arkansas nurse Jennifer Melton. We pray for the family and friends of Arkansas resident Judy Stafferhan. We pray for the family and friends of Filipino pastor Diomedes Brigoli, and we pray for the family and friends of Venezuelan church treasurer Pablo Carino. We pray for the family and friends of Massachusetts resident Tedros Pope as well. We commit all of these souls into your hands. Let your will be done in their lives and in ours. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for our sake. Amen. Beloved, we'll see you next time. God bless you real good. Now, dear friend, if you are with us today, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, John 3:16 states, "For God so loved the world," these are the words of Jesus Christ, "God so loved the world," that means that if you are in this world, God loves you, "that he gave his only begotten Son," God gave up his only begotten Son, "to suffer and to bleed and to die on the cross for your sins. He shed innocent blood on the cross for your sins, because Jesus Christ never committed a sin in word, in thought, in attitude, or in deed." Yes, you can have a sinful attitude. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son up to suffer and to bleed and to die on the cross for our sins," however, our lies, our stealing, our lusting after people and things, coveting after people and things, what other people have, our disrespect and dishonor and disobedience and having bad attitudes towards our parents, our taking God's name in vain, and so many other sins. These are just five of the Ten Commandments. If we have broke one of them, we have broken the whole law according to the Bible. Jesus died for all of our wickedness and all of our sins. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son," Jesus Christ, he was speaking of himself, "that whosoever believeth in him," the word "whosoever" means anybody at any time. The word "believeth" means to trust in, to have faith in him, Jesus Christ, "should not perish," that is, you will not go to hell, but have everlasting life. So, dear friend, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ today so that you can be saved from the torments of hell. For the Bible teaches that once you die unsaved, if you die without believing in Christ, you will immediately wake up in the torments of hell. If you want to avoid that and wake up in heaven and in the arms of Jesus Christ, if you will, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ down here. For the Bible says in Romans 10:9-13, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, you shalt be saved. For whosoever, there's that word again, whosoever, anybody at any time, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Saved from what? Saved from hell. Saved to what? Saved to heaven. It's very simple to be saved, very easy to be saved, contrary to what people will tell you. You don't have to be in a church building to get saved. You don't have to join a church to get saved. You don't have to get baptized to get saved. You don't have to give any money to the church to get saved. You don't have to shake the preacher's hand. You don't have to raise your hand. You don't have to walk down the aisle. You don't have to do anything to get saved but believe in Jesus Christ and call on his name and pray and ask him to save you. And he will do so, my beloved. If he did it for me, he'll do it for you. So believe in your heart. Only you can do that. That Jesus Christ suffered, bled, and died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose on the third day. Pray with me the sinner's prayer. Repeat after me phrase by phrase and mean it from your heart. Let's pray. Holy Father God in heaven, I acknowledge that I am a wicked sinner, and I admit that I have broken your Ten Commandments. I have indeed committed some of those sins that were mentioned earlier by the preacher. And Holy Father God, I admit that I deserve to go to hell just like a criminal deserves to go to jail. For Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive me of all of my crimes and sins. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and into my spirit and save my soul. As I now believe with all of my heart in your Holy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who suffered, bled, and died on the cross for my sins, was buried and rose on the third day. And Lord, I do not understand it all, but I thank you for it all. And I believe it all. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and into my spirit and save my soul and change my life. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to truly repent of my sins past and to truly repent of my sins present and to turn from my evil life and to follow you, Lord Jesus, in the new life. For it is in your name I do pray. Amen. Now, dear friend of mine, if you just believed in the Lord Jesus Christ with all of your heart as your Lord and Savior, and you prayed that prayer with me and you meant it from your heart, I declare to you that based upon the Word of God, the Holy Bible, that I just shared with you, you are now saved from hell and you're on your way to heaven. Welcome to the family of God, dear friend. I want to congratulate you on doing the most important thing in life, and that is believing in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ Jesus, please go to GospelLightSociety.com and read my book titled, What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. Jesus Christ said in John chapter 10 verse 9, and this is what the book title is based on. I am the door, Jesus Christ said. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. Ladies and gentlemen, until next time, may the Lord bless you and keep you, is my prayer.